You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So this is the apex of Father's Day month, the third Sunday of Father's Day month on the church calendar. You laugh at that. I'm totally serious. They just don't understand how serious it is, Gene. It's also Trinity Sunday, which is by far the most important aspect of the day. A celebration of our Father in heaven, of the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that dwells among us. There's a lot of places we could go as far as messages this morning, but I thought that I would come to you this morning from our epistle, which is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Before I do that, thank you so much for the Father's Day celebration. I know it took work setting it up, and the food was excellent. And I know all the fathers here appreciate it. I hope everybody has big plans today, whether it's just being with family or a quiet Sunday afternoon. We need these times, I think, because there are troubled times out there. And I think that's a little bit what's going on in the epistle for today, a realization that though the times might be troubled in the world, there is hope, and hope does not disappoint. So let me begin with just a question. How does an unbelieving person become a believer? How does an unbeliever move from a life outside of grace to a life of belief inside the grace of God? How do you get from that point A to point B? How does an unsaved, unjustified person change so radically into a saved, justified person? How does a person move from sinner to righteousness? How does a person who's steeped in the ways of the world transform into a person who lives a life of scriptural holiness? Many ways to say the same question. When the church moves in the world according to the mission and purpose it has been ordained to fulfill, and the people of God live into the holiness that God the Creator designed them for, the ripple effect of the grace of God moving through His people leads people into relationship with Christ. They are justified by grace, and they begin a lifelong journey of sanctification. Thanks be to God for that. It's a wonderful plan that God has to save His people through Jesus, His Son. And so it leads us to another question. How is that sanctifying grace possible in their lives? It's made possible because the saving grace of God, in the Wesleyan tradition, we call it the justifying grace of God. That grace has impact in the lives of people. When we say yes to Jesus, things are set in motion. That yes gets the ball rolling. When we say yes to Christ, stuff happens. Let's see what Paul has to say about this in our epistle from Romans 5. Listen to what Paul writes. Therefore, Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. See, Romans 5 is one of those passages that begins with that word, therefore, which is a sure sign that everything that comes before it is significant. I always say, when we see therefore, we have to go back and see what the therefore is there for. It's a sure sign that whatever came before that passage has bearing, has impact, defines, brings context to the passage that we're looking at. And so we have to put the passage in context by seeing what was written in the preceding passages. So in this case, we have to back up all the way to Romans 1, verse 1. We have to see that the statement that Paul makes here, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. That verse is the summarizing sentence of Paul's first four chapters of Romans. He's saying that those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ can be assured that their faith in him has been credited to them as righteousness. That's remarkable. That just by saying yes to Jesus, we get to claim the very righteousness of God in our lives. And because of that, we can have confidence. We can have assurance. Assurance of that fact based on Christ's sacrifice being put to death for our sins on the cross and then raised again so that we might be declared just, righteous, and holy. When you got up this morning, did you think you were just, righteous, and holy? Well, if Jesus is your Savior, that's exactly what happened. When you got up this morning, because of what Jesus did for you on the cross, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, allowing you to say yes to Jesus, you got up this morning just, righteous, and holy. And that assurance that Paul speaks of here gives us something that I want to be sure not to understate this morning. Paul says that assurance in our being made right with God through Jesus Christ gives us peace. Peace. Don't we all just want peace? Inner peace. Yeah, world peace would be great, but inner peace, despite what's going on in the world. So I want to dwell on that thought for a few moments this morning. I want to meditate on this peace that Paul writes about here in Romans. There are results of being justified in Christ. And one of those results is peace. We tend to think of peace as the absence of chaos, right? If you're over in the Middle East, on one night there was peace, and then on the next night there was chaos. And the chaos continues. That's what we think of. If the chaos would stop, we'd say, oh, we have a time of peace. Well, that's not exactly what we're talking about here. See, we tend to think of peace as the absence of conflict, the absence of war. But peace is so much more than the absence of something negative. Peace is much more than the void created by the absence of something bad. Peace is much richer than that for Christians. Peace for Christians, for believers, is much more full than that for those who have Jesus in their hearts. Because peace is a result of justification. Peace is what happens when we're transformed by the saving grace of God. Transformed by Jesus. It's the result of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our core being. Peace with God is the first result of justification. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus gave me peace.
Jesus gave me peace.
Jesus gives us peace. Now, you've probably heard me say many times before, before we accept Jesus, we are formless and void. But when we accept Jesus, the peace of God enters us with the Holy Spirit, not just filling the hole in our soul and making the hole level, but rather filling our hearts to overflowing with a newness. A new relationship with God. It's not just a state of inner tranquility, but more than that, it's an overflowing of grace that gives us purpose, gives our lives meaning, gives our lives an objective. The saving grace of God transforms us completely, and we are no longer under the oppressive weight of sin. But now we can move freely forward in our new life with Christ to grow toward glorification by the sanctification, the sanctifying grace of God. And in that lifelong process, we're equipped by the Holy Spirit to accomplish this missional sending of God who saved us to make disciples of Jesus Christ and spread scriptural holiness across the globe. Peace is the assurance of salvation and the anointing for fulfilling the purpose that God has for you as a minister of faith in the world. See, peace is a lot of things. Bigger than the absence of chaos. If the peace of God is the first result of justifying saving grace, then what's the second? What's the second impact that we're told about by the Apostle Paul? We go to Ephesians 2:18. And we see there, through Jesus, we have access in one spirit to God the Father. We see before we accept Jesus, we don't have access to God the Father. But when we make the choice for Christ, we suddenly have access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. Access is everything. Relationship with the Father requires righteousness on our part, and righteousness is something that is unobtainable by us on our own because of the brokenness of sin. There's no way we can be good enough to access God. We can't earn access. We can't work our way into the throne room. Our only righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus, which he exchanged for our sin on the cross. And choosing Jesus is the only access to God the Father. And the relationship that we access leads us to a state of rejoicing. So you have peace as the first aspect of justifying grace, and access to the throne room of God as the second aspect, the second impact of justifying grace. It leads us to rejoicing. Why do we rejoice? Well, we rejoice because we now have this thing called hope. Hope. It's a simple word. It's one of those spirit-taught words that we talked about in Bible study this past Wednesday. Spirit taught means that the meaning of the word hope for believers is different than the meaning of the word hope out there in the unbelieving world. In the unbelieving world, we might use that word hope a little nonchalantly. Oh, I hope that I'm going to have Mexican food for lunch today. That's a hope. But that's not the kind of hope that the Spirit-taught version of that word refers to. We rejoice because we now have hope. We now have hope of sharing in the glory of God, which is the third result of justification, the third result of the saving grace of God. We have peace, we have access, and now we have hope. By the saving grace of God, we now have the hope of redemption, the hope of returning to the glory for which God created us in the first place. Tell somebody next to you, Jesus gives me hope. We rejoice in that hope that Jesus brings, but we also rejoice, Paul says, and you might think it's counterintuitive, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Verse 3 of our passage, and not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Kind of goes against the human condition to rejoice in our suffering, doesn't it? And so we have to do some introspection and ask ourselves the question, am I suffering this morning? And in order to do that, we have to be real and honest here this morning. Can we do that together this morning? In this holy place that's been set apart for the equipping of the saints, this little church that does so much for the kingdom and in this community, can we just be honest with one another this morning and just say that we know that most of us here are suffering in one way or another. And there's all kinds of way that suffering enters our human condition. Illness, financial hardship, relationship issues, suffering from things in our past that we would prefer not to bring up in polite company. I mean, if we can just drop the walls here for a few minutes that we've built up over the years to insulate us from our suffering, because this is a community of faith. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. This is your church family. You're among friends. Can we just admit that there are things that we suffer through even now? We're all suffering from one thing or another. And the first thing we need to understand about the God we worship is He is not the cause of our suffering. God does not cause suffering. It's not in His nature. The broken, fallen world in which we live, the sinful nature of humankind, and while we're being honest, some of our own bad choices have caused the suffering. But the good news is that we have peace and we have access and we have hope in Christ. And so all of that suffering, all of that pain and sickness and hardship and brokenness, when you put Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, God can use that. He didn't cause it, but He can use it. God can walk with you through all of that to produce endurance, which builds character, which produces hope. The hope which will never, ever disappoint you because the love of God has been poured. Poured, mind you, not trickled, not drop by drop, not sprinkled, but poured like an overflowing fountain into your heart through the Holy Spirit that Paul reminds us here has been given to you. Do you know the Holy Spirit was sent for you? When Jesus ascended, God the Father, in the name of Jesus the Son, sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in and among believers. And so we can rejoice in that suffering that we're in the midst of this morning. We can rejoice because it produces hope. We can rejoice because you have the peace of God. Rejoice because you have access to the throne room. You can rejoice because the hope of God is yours no matter what the world brings. Doesn't matter what the devil throws at you this coming week, because you have the hope of God. And you can rejoice, laugh in the devil's face. I know it's early, but let me hear you laugh this morning. Take that, devil. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.